Today's daf is Brachos daf Nun Aleph. We left off on daf Nun Amid Beis. We are at the two dots, about five lines from the end of the page. Daf Nun Amid Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Avishai Newman, Le'ila Nishmas, Rav Chaim Naftali ben Rav Yaakov Shlomo, Nisham Shav and Aliyah. Today's shir is also sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and is also sponsored by Shaki Klar, Lezecha Nishmas. Yenti Bas Avram, the Neshamos should have an Aliyah. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding at the two dots again, five lines on the bottom of the page, or six lines on the bottom of the page, on Daf Nun Amud Beis. And what the Gemara is going to discuss is what happens if a person puts food in his mouth before he has recited a bracha. So how does a person handle that situation if you didn't say a bracha before you put food in your mouth? The Gemara is also going to discuss the therapeutic value of a certain type of wine drink and certain limitations on how it should be used. And the Gemara is going to give advice from different angels, including from the Malach HaMaves. And then we're going to have a list of 10 different things that are said about a kos shel bracha, that the halacha is about a kos shel bracha. And on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about how a woman's role in the kos shel bracha, and particularly how it relates to the fact that a woman is only misbarech through a man, through her husband. And then at the beginning of the next parak, the beginning of the eighth parak, the Mishnah is going to list off eight different machlokos between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel with regard to Seuda. And the Gemara is going to elaborate specifically on the machlokas of which bracha comes first in Kiddush, the bracha on the Yom or the bracha on the Yayin. And we're going to have two explanations for each shita, for the shita of Beis Shammai and for the shita of the Beis Hillel. So let's begin at the two dots. Amar Rav Yehuda, shachach v'chnes ochel n'tok tiv v'lo bracha. If a person forgot and put food in his mouth without first reciting a bracha, misalkel n'tzad echon u'mevarich, he should move the food over to one side of his mouth and recite the bracha. So tanya chada bolan, v'tanya idach polton, v'tanya idach misalkan. But that's only one brisa. We have three brisas to tell us three different things in terms of what a person is supposed to do if he puts food in his mouth without reciting a bracha. One brisa tells us just swallow it. Another brisa says spit it out and say the bracha. And third brisa says just move it over to one side of the mouth. Says more lo kasha. Ha detanya bolan bimashkin. The one that says you have to swallow it, that's no matter if you have a drink. You can't move it to one side of the mouth and still recite a bracha, so you swallow it. Ha detanya polton bimidid lo mamis. And the one that says that you should spit it out and recite the bracha and then eat it again, that's no matter something that won't be disgusting if you spit it out. Ha detanya misalkan bimidid lo mamis. And the one that says that you have to move it, the brisa says to move it over to one side of the mouth, is talking about something that would become disgusting if you were to spit it out, so you just move it over to the side of the mouth. So says Gemara, well, b'miti d'loma, misnami l'slikin l'sadecha v'livrach. Most people would probably rather not have to spit out their food and recite a bracha, so even if it's something that's not going to become disgusting, why not just move it over to the side of your mouth? It's a sucking candy. You can put it right back in its wrapper and recite another bracha, or you could just move it over to the side of your mouth and say the bracha that way. So why don't we just allow you to move it over to the side of your mouth? Answers the Gemara, tir Gemara of Yitzchak kaskasa, made Rabbi Yosef bar Avin, Mishreid Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Shenemar, Yimalei Pi Tihilascha, that your mouth should be full of the praise of Hashem. So whenever it's possible to say a bracha with nothing in your mouth, that is always the preference. What if a person had a whole meal, he finished, and now he didn't make a bracha, or he didn't finish, he ate something, he swallowed, so he had finished eating whatever he was eating, but there's more food in front of him, should he still make a bracha now on the next bite of food that he's going to have? So Amar Lahu, Mishach Lashum V'Reichel Nodev, Yachzer V'Yachel Shum Acher, K'dei Shei Reichel Nodev. Of course you should say a bracha, just because someone eats garlic and their breath stinks. So you're going to tell them to eat more garlic and, you know, that's going to solve things? No, if someone did something wrong, we don't tell a person to do another Aveira if he already did an Aveira. We tell him to do, you know, okay, so what you did, but from here on in, you do your best from here on in. You have to do your best. That's what the poskim use that expression when they talk about the halacha that we had earlier, the halacha we had a few dapim ago about how we're not mitzvahed for nama aretz to a zimun. So the Bir Halacha writes in Shulchan Aruch, the Bir Halacha writes that what does that mean? That nama aretz is part from zimun. If a group of amaratzim meet together, we tell them, don't bench. You're amaratzim. You don't get to bench. How does that make any sense? The Bir Halacha says mishal chalshum v'reichon odiv yachzur v'yachzur. Just because he's nama aretz, so he's already got one problem. So I'm going to tell him he's got other problems too. He's not allowed to bench. There's no prerequisite to doing mitzvos. You do whatever mitzvos he can do. No, what it means over there is that we're not mitzvah and ma'aretz to a zimun together with chaverim, together with talmidei chachamim, because that's not considered a kviyus, since we don't want to encourage that kind of association of chaverim to be eating together with amei aretz. Amar Ravina, hilka chafil gamar sudasa yachzor v'yivarech. So it says Ravina, then therefore it should turn out that even if you finish your meal entirely, you should still say a bracha. Titania tavol va'ala omer v'al yasab. After all, we have such a similar thing when it comes to going to the mikveh, that if a person went to the mikveh and he's ready to come out of the mikveh, so you should say a bracha ala tevila out of the mikveh after it's already over. Maybe the same thing should be true when it comes to eating food. Velohi hasamei kara gavra lo chazi. Nah, going to the mikveh is very different. The guy beforehand couldn't say a bracha. He wasn't eligible to recite a bracha before being mitair in the mikveh. Hachamei kara gavra chazi. Over here, the guy could have recited a bracha before eating. He just didn't. He was negligent and he didn't. So once the meal is over, so now he's no longer eligible to say a bracha. Why is it that a person is not allowed to recite a bracha before going to the mikvah? So Tosfos points out, Meikara gavra lo chazi tema v'lo tamei enu asur levarich. We don't have such a din that a tamei person is not allowed to say a bracha. Tamei people say brachas all the time. We're all tamei mason, we say brachas. People who have tumas keri say bracha. People have all sorts of them to say brachas. So Bekunchus Pirush Tabali Karyan Asurim B'Divrei Torah. And Rashi says this relates to what we had sugyas about earlier on, about a Balkari being Asur in Divrei Torah, back in Daf Chaf, where we learned from our Sinai that a Balkari is Asur B'Divrei Torah. So says Tosos, Yesh Lomar, Demayri B'Tevilas Geirim, Umnei Osa Tevila Hitzvich, L'Kol Shar Tevilas L'Varech, La'achar Tevila. No, by Tevilas Geirim, they can't say a bracha before the Tevila, because they're not Jewish. So you can't say a bracha, Shark Rishon B'Tosav Tivanu. So since by Tevilas Geirim, it has to be that the bracha is going to be after the Tevila, so that became the tzura of a birchas hamitzvah on tevila, that we always do it afterwards. V'chein b'netilas yadayim shapam badam bam besakisei v'enadam rai levarich ad la'achar anetila no'gam levarich kol shar birchas yadayim la'achar anetila. And that's why, says Tosfos, we say a bracha v'al netilas yadayim after the netila. The explanation is because prior to the netila, sometimes a person has just come from the bathroom and he's not able to recite a bracha. It could be that his hands are dirty from having gone to the bathroom. He's unable to recite a bracha, and therefore by every netila sidaim, even netila sidaim for suuda, the minhag has developed that we recite a bracha after the netila. Now the halacha is that we recite a bracha after the netila, but before the niguv, and that way it's still somewhat over la'asyasan, because the niguv is a chelek of the netila, so it's not totally non over la'asyasan. It's not like by the mikvah where you've already been tovel and Allah and it's already over, where it's we're clearly sacrificing the over la'asyasan entirely. Also, the way Tosfos writes this in Maseches Pesachim, when it comes to netilas yadayim, sounds like he's justifying a minhag, but it's not really something that he really holds should be done or ought to be done, but he's justifying the minhag of why it is that people say a bracha after the netilas yadayim. So Rav Shachter Shlita says his bracha before netilas yadayim. He says it over Las Yasan. He thought that according to Rav Rishon, that's really what's supposed to be done. It's really what it says in Shulchan Aruch also, that that's what's supposed to be done. It's just that there's a minhag that we justify to say the bracha, that the niguv is still a chelek of the netilas. Someone once asked me in camp, they did away with paper towels during the week. They only had paper towels on Shabbos, and during the week they had the air dryers for netilas. It saves a lot of mess and it saves a lot of money. So the shaila is, if you're going to say a bracha v'al netilas yadayim after you wash, because there's a maisa niguv that you're doing afterwards, is having air blow on your hands considered a maisa niguv? So I wrote a piece about that in my second sefer. And the answer is yes, it's fine. But that's part of that that sugya. So it's also interesting. They point out from here, Magen Avraham and Reish Samuel Gimel points out from here that this is a raya against the wife of the drisha, wife or the mother of the drisha, I forget. But in the hakdama to the drisha, it says that his mother, I just don't remember whether the Drisha himself wrote the Akdama, or his son wrote the Akdama, but it says that that she quotes two halachos in her name, and it says that when it comes to Hadlakas Neros on Shabbos, since Hadlakas Neros on Shabbos is a Kabbalah Shabbos, so that's why a woman recites a bracha after the Hadlakas Neros, even though normally you'd want to do over Las Yasan, because once she recites the bracha, it's already a Kabbalah Shabbos, so you don't want to light the candles, you don't want to say a bracha, be Mekabel Shabbos with the bracha, and then be Mechal Shabbos by lighting the candles. But what about on Yantiv? So that's what the Drisha's wife or mother, I don't remember, says that on Yantiv, you should say the bracha of Las Yasan, because on Yantiv, you don't have that svara. That was for Chiddush. So says Magen Avraham, you see from this Tosfos against her. That Tosa says that no, once a bracha has been made in a certain tzura, so that's the way we always do it. Al Netilas Yadayim doesn't always, you're not always ineligible to say Al Netilas Yadayim before the Netila, but it's a low plug. So over there it also must be a low plug. Now, Doug Mervava points out that there's a distinction to be made, that when it comes to the Hadlakas Neros, there's a different bracha on Shabbos than there is on Yantif. L'Hadlik Ner Shel Shabbos, or L'Hadlik Ner Shel Yom Tov. So it could be that you don't say a low plug across different brachos. You'll say a low plug, as far as a bracha of tevila, where it's the same bracha every time. Okay, vayter in the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan, ispargus yafalu lev. This ispargus drink, which is a kos of some sort of undiluted wine that they would drink every morning as a refuah, it's good for the heart, v'tov le'naim, and it's good for the eyes, v'kolshken le'bnei ma'ayim, and certainly good for the stomach. V'aragil bo yafal l'chal gufo, and someone who's in the habit of drinking it every day, it's good for the entire body. And if someone gets drunk from it, it's going to be bad for his whole body. From the fact that we say it's good for the heart, it sounds like we're talking about wine. And it says that it's also good for the bnei me'ayim, that it's good for the intestines. But wait a second, don't we have a brisa that tells us that for lamed ayin tes, for lev, einayim, and tchol, it's good, but for resh, mem, tuf, for Rosh, Me'ayim, and Tachtonios, it's bad. So don't you see that it's bad for Me'ayim, for Bnei Me'ayim, for the intestines? It says, Mar Kitanya Hiv Miyushan. That's only if it's aged wine. Kiditan, Konam Yayin, Shanitoim, Shayayin Kashal, Bnei Me'ayim. If a person takes a neder, that he's not going to taste any wine because wine is bad for the intestines. And they tell him, no, miyushan is good for the intestines, for shasak, and he's quiet. So in such a case, he's not allowed to have new wine because that's what his kavanah was in taking the neder, that it's bad for his bnei me'ayim, but he's mutter to have aged wine because aged wine is going to be good for his bnei me'ayim, and that was never the intent of his neder. Shmamina, and therefore we see that there is such a chilik between chadash and miyushan. Tan Rabban, shish dvar nemru b'ispargus. There are six things that we can say about this ispargus drink. Number one, ein shos nosal k'shu chayu male. A person should only drink it when it is undiluted and when it's full, when it's a full kos. Number two, mekablu b'yamin v'shosei b'smol. You should receive the cup with your right hand and drink it with your left hand. Number three, ve'in masichan achra ve'mafsikin bo. That a person should not speak right after it, nor should he be mafsik in the middle of drinking it. He should drink it all at once. Number four, vein makzirno so el lemisha nasnulo. You should only give it back to the person who gave it to you. Number five, verak acharav. You should spit after drinking it. And number six, vein somchno so el bimino. You should only drink something similar to it after having it. You shouldn't have other foods right after having it. Vatanya in somchno so el bepas. But wait a second. We said you're supposed to have bread after it. That's not bimino. So lo kasha, habid de chamra, habid de shichra. It's not a stira. One is talking about wine, and the other is talking about if it's made with beer. Tanicha de lilaat yafal ramat kasha. Now we have one brisa that says that for the lev einayim and tchol it's good, and for the rosh me'ayim and tachtonios it's bad. V'tani idach l'ramat yafal lilaat kasha. And the other brisa says the exact opposite. So lo kasha, habid de chamra, habid de shichra. It's not a stira. One is talking about if the ikar ingredient is wine, and the other is talking about in a case where the ikar ingredient is beer. Tani chada, rak achrav loka, v'tani idach, lo rak achrav loka. We have two brises. One that says that if you spit after drinking this refuah, you're going to get sick. And the other one says if you don't spit after drinking it, you're going to get sick. So again, lokasha, habidichamra, habidishikra. It depends if the ikar ingredient is wine or the ikar ingredient is beer. Amravashi, hashadam lo rak achrav loka. Now that we say that if you don't spit afterwards, you're going to get sick, then you can't be bashful about spitting after it, even in front of a king, even though it may seem unseemly, unsightly to do so in front of a king. But this is something that's it's a health issue, it's a health concern, so one has to do it no matter what. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, who was zochet to see certain things that other people don't see, had a conversation with Suril Sara Pinim, and he said he gave me three bits of advice. Number one, he said, "Al titol chaluk chashachres miyad shamish v'tilavesh." Don't take your shirt in the morning from your attendant, from your shamish, and put it on. I mean, don't take it directly from his hand. Number two, "V'al titol yadecha mimishalo notal yadav." Don't have someone wash your hands if that person didn't do his own netilas yadayim. And number three, "V'al tachzir kosas." One of the things that we said about the Kosas Vargus is one of the bits of advice, and that's probably why this appears over here. Don't give the Kosas Vargus back to the person who gave it to you. Because there's some sort of legion or group of Shadim, of Malachi Chavala, that are waiting to ambush a person. And they wait for a person to do one of these three things, and then they capture him. So that's a bad thing to do. You want to avoid these malachei chavala. Amr b'shur ben Levi, speaking of malachei chavala, shlosh advarim sachli malach ha-maves. There are three things that the malach ha-maves told me. Number one, al titol chaluk ha-shachros mi'al ha-shamish v'tilabesh. Don't take your shirt in the morning directly from the shamish and put it on. Number two, val titol yadecha mishalo notel yadav. Don't wash your hands from someone who hasn't washed their own hands. And number three, don't stand in front of the women when they're coming back from the funeral. So, because the Malach HaMavis says, because that's where I'm dancing in front of them and I'm walking in front of them. And I have my sword in my hand. And I have the ability, I'm given permission to attack. So, what if a person does walk in front of the women when they're coming back from the Beis HaKvaros, from the mace? So, then what do? How do you solve that problem? How do you fix what you've done wrong? So linshof miduchte arba amos, move 4 amos away from where you are. Iika nahara liavre, if there's a river there, jump over the river, go over the river. Viika darka achrina lays above, if there's another path that you can go, take the other path. Viika guda leku achora, and if there's a wall, hide behind the wall, go on the other side. Viila lahadrape vlema, and if you don't have any of those options, turn your face away and say veyomer Hashem el satan yigar Hashem b'cha v'gomer ad chalfi minay. Say that pasuk until the satan goes away. There are 10 halachos relating to how to handle a kol shel bracha. That it, first of all, it's ta'un hadacha ushtifa chai, hadacha ushtifa. It requires hadacha and it requires shtifa, rinsing from the inside and rinsing from the outside. Chai, it is supposed to be chai. There are like 8 different interpretations in Rishonim what that means. Rashi says, shemozgo b'mayim la'achar shenasnu b'kos. Chai. It doesn't mean that you drink it undiluted, because we just said in yesterday's daf that undiluted wine might not even have a din of wine. It might be a burden for your eitz. No, it means you put it into the cup, chai, and then you are mozig it. You certainly can't be mevarich when it's chai. Inami chai belaz prishak lavio min achavis l'shmo. That you chai maybe means that you dafka bring it from the barrel for the sake of a koshal bracha. And umalei, it should be full. You should fill up the entire kos. Itur, it requires a crowning around the koshal bracha. The Gemara is going to explain what each of these things mean. The ituf, and a person should be doing a tifa sarosh. He should wrap his head in a turban when he says a bracha of a koshal bracha. Notol b'shtei yadav nosu b'yamini. He should take it with both hands and then place it in his right hand. Umagbio min akarka tefach, and he should lift it 1 tefach off the ground. V'nosin einov bo, and he should look at it. V'yesh amrav m'shagum matan lanshe beso. And some say that he should even give it to his to his family members, to his wife in particular, after he drinks from it. So Rabbi Yochanan says, now we only require four of these things: hadacha, shtifa, chai, malei. Those are the only four things that we require. So Tana, hadacha mibefnim, ushtifa mibachutz. What's the difference between hadacha and shtifa? Hadacha means rinsing on the inside of the coast. Shtifa means the rinsing of the outside of the coast. If you look at Tosa, shtifa mibachutz, hadacha mibefnim. Meaning that's only if it's dirty, so you need to rinse it off, or if it's got remnants of a previous drink in there, so you need to rinse it. But if it's already perfectly fine, then there's no need for a hadach u'shtifa. There's no need to rinse it, says Tosfos. When you fill up the whole coast of wine, a person is going to receive an inheritance without borders, meaning an unlimited bracha. Rabbi Yosef B'Chanina Omer, zoche v'nochel shnei olamim, that the person will inherit two worlds, the olam hazeh, the olam haba, both this world and the next world. Itur, what does it mean that a kosher baruch requires itur? So Rav Yehuda Ma'atrei b'talmidim, that he had talmidim standing around the coast, that they would surround him when he was mevarich, and that's a kavod for the kosher bracha. Rav Chista Ma'atrei b'natli, Rav Chista would be ma'atrei with other smaller kosos, and that's why those in more recent years and decades where you have that coast, the big coast that you pour it in, and the fountain pours down into all the kosos around it. So that's maybe a kiyum of this inyan of kosher bracha being surrounded by smaller kosos, that's maybe a proper thing to do with a kosher bracha. Amar Rav Chanan ubechai, that it should be chai. Amar Rav Sheshes birchas haaretz, that and dafka by birchas haaretz, when you get to birchas haaretz, you should add to the kos. Itof Rav Papa ma'atef Yosef. Rav Papa used to be ma'atef, wrap himself in his talus and sit for the kosher bracha. Rav Asi part of sudra al reshe, and Rav Asi used to put his turban on his head. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes in Simkuf Pei Gimel, that a person for a kosher bracha should be wearing a hat and jacket. That a person should be ma'atef for a kosher bracha. Note of b'shtei yadav, so a person should take the kosher with two hands. Amar Rav Chinuva Papa ma'ikra'a su'u yadechem kodesh uvarchu es Hashem. That's su'u yadechem. Both of your hands should be lifted up. So you take it with two hands, Ubaruch Hashem. But then you put it in your right hand. Amar Chia Barabba, Amar Yochanan, Rishonim Sha'alu, Smal Ma'usha Tisayeh Ali Yemin. What happens? Can you have your right hand helping, your left hand helping out your right hand? Says Tosos, why? Why would you do that? Why don't you just hold it in your right hand? So Tosos says, Bekosos Gedolos Ma'ri. We're talking about if you have very large kosos, Oberosh Chodesh Teves Shechalios B'Shabbos Shu B'Chanaka. Or it's that one time we're benching where you say everything, where Rosh Chodesh Teves, which is Chanukah, and it's also Shabbos, so you have Ritzei, and you have Yalav Yavo, and you have Alanisim, so you have all of benching. Oh, Benisuin, or it's at a wedding, Vitzorich Laruch Birch Samazim, they have all these extra things that they add into to Birch Samazim. So it could be that all that, there's a Shaila actually about Sheva Brachos, whether Sheva Brachos is considered to be a Hemsheikh of Birch Samazim, or Sheva Brachos is independent of Birch Samazim. This in Kaplan, and it's safer on Sheva Brachos. There's like eight nafkaminas, but the most obvious nafkamina is who's eligible to say the Shabbat brachas. What if a person is participating in the seudah but didn't wash, so he has no chiyuv in birchas hamazon? So can he recite the Shabbat brachas? Maybe Shabbat brachas is only as a continuation of the benching. But in all these cases, the point is that you're holding the kos for a long time, and it could get difficult to hold the kos for a long time in one hand. So that's what the Gemara is asking: can you be misayeya b'smol? Can you use your other hand to help you lift the kos with this hand? Some Ravashi hold rishonim ivayu. Since this was a shaila in earlier generations and it wasn't easily answered, anan never the chumrah. So that's why we go the chumrah and we don't do it. Umagbiyo min a karka tafach, and you should lift it one tafach off the ground. Amar Ravach Rav Chanina, my krav kos yishuos esa. You lift up the kos yishuos uveshem Hashem ekra, and then you call out the shem Hashem. V'nosein ein of bow, and you should look at the kos. And the point of that is that you shouldn't have a hesach hadas from it. tisparach the bitu, and you should give it to your wife so that she should receive bracha from the koshal bracha. So the idea of other people drinking from koshal bracha, some type of skula, appears in the Gemara, right? That participating in koshal bracha is considered to be a source of bracha. Ula ikla be Rav Nachman. Ula went to Rav Nachman's house. Karuk rifta baruch birchas mezona, and they had bread, and he said the bracha. He said birchas mezon. So yavle kasa de brachasa. They gave him a koshal bracha. Rav Nachman. Amrle Rav Nachman lishter mar kasa de brachasa liyalta. So after Rav Nachman benched, he said, okay, let's give koshal bracha to my wife. Let's give yalta some of the koshal bracha. Amrle hachiam Rav Yochanan ein pri bitna shalisha mizbarich elam pri bitna shal ish. That they said, no, the pribetan of a woman is only going to be misbarich through her husband. So there's no point in giving her the koshal bracha, because that's not how she receives bracha anyway. Shnemar uveirach pribitnecha. Pribitna lo nemar el pribitnecha. It doesn't say pribitna, it says pribitnecha. Tanya na mihachi, Rabbi Nassan Omer, mi nain shein pribitna shalisha mizbarech, elin mi pribitna shalish. How do we know that the pribetan of a woman is only mizbarech through her husband? Shnemar uveirach pribitnecha. Pribit lo nemar el pribitnecha. So they didn't give yalta the koshal bracha. Adahachi shama yalta kama b'ziyara va'olsa l'bechamra v'tavra dalin mea doni d'chamra. Yalta heard that they refused to give her koshal bracha. She was not too happy. So she got up and she went to the wine cellar and she destroyed 400 barrels of wine. You refuse to give me koshal bracha? I'll show you. She destroyed all 400 barrels of wine. So the Marsha points out that what she was doing was she was demonstrating that it wasn't that she wanted wine. It wasn't that she cared about the wine. She cared about the bracha. If she cared about wine, she went and destroyed 400 barrels of wine. She's saying, I care less about wine. And I'd be happy if our house was alcohol-free. But if there's a bracha to be had, I want the bracha. So she was interested in the koshal bracha. So Rav Nachman, Nishra Lamar Kasachrina. So Rav Nachman said, maybe give her a different kos. So Shalachla, Kolhai Navga de Brachasehi. So they sent her a message. Don't worry, even though this isn't from the original koshal bracha, all the wine in the same barrel is all part of a koshal bracha. So don't worry, it still counts. You know, they're trying to placate her and tell, yeah, it's okay, it still counts as koshal bracha. So Shalchale, she sent back a message. Mimahaduri mili umismartute klimi. Essentially, I'm not an idiot. Meaning, from you hear a lot of things from people who just roam around cities and have nothing intelligent to say, and from the rubbing of clothing, of rubbing out and wearing out of clothing, a lot of lice come. Meaning, you're just saying nonsense. You're spewing nonsense in order to calm me down, and I see right through it. Amar Ravasi, ein masichin al koshal bracha. Person should not speak by a koshal bracha. So Rashi says, misha achsa ad sheyivarech. Meaning, once you pick up the koshal bracha, conversation should be over, right? No one should speak at any point. Tosfos points out that v'hu adina masu that at that point also all the other people around the table should stop speaking, because everyone should have full kavana. So everyone has to have kavana, no one should be speaking. It says in Masechet Rosh Hashanah that if a person hears nine different tekiyos in nine different hours of the day, he's yotzei and mistah. He's speaking in between those 9 hours of the day. So apparently a shomea doesn't have to have perfect concentration. But you don't do such a thing. You would want to do it without speaking, without any interruptions. In middle of a bracha, to speak at all, that for sure ruins the bracha entirely. Back in the Gemara, you don't say a bracha on a koshal peranus. My koshal peranus. What would qualify something as a koshal peranus? So I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak kosheni. Anytime you have a second cup of wine, and Rashi points out, because this is a violation of zugos. This appears in the 10th parak of Maseches Pesachim, that we try to avoid having pairs of things, because that is zugos, that's considered to open yourself up to attacks from Shadim and the like. Tanya Namiach, Yashosa Kiflayim, Lo Yivarech. If a person drinks doubles, he should not say Abraham Yishim Shnemar, Hikol Nikros Alekach Yisrael, Vailo Miskan. And this is not an appropriate thing to do. This is something that's going to it's going to bring about damage. Am Rabbi Yavav, Armila Masnisa Tana, Ha'ochel Mahalech, Mivarech Mu'uman. If a person is eating as he's walking, should say a bracha in one place. You shouldn't say a bracha as you're walking. Ukshu ochel mu'uman mevarich miyushav. And if you're eating standing up, you should be kovei yourself more for your bracha. You should sit down to say your bracha. Ukshu mesav yochel yoshev mevarich. And when a person is eating leaning, he should sit and say a bracha. Vilchsu v'kulu yoshev mevarich. And the halach is always that a person should sit when they say a bracha. And Tosfos points out lufi shebirchas hamazon d'oraisa hichmir b'alios yoshev mevarich. That since birchas hamazon is d'oraisa, we're machmir that you should dafka say it sitting down. Shayasar dvar nemuvo mashen kin b'shar brachos v'nitrikin v'achalta v'savata, and that's the nitrikin v'achalta v'savata. Shave ace ubirchas lebirchas hamazon mifir Rabbi Moshe Albert. Okay, so the point is that birchas hamazon should be treated with a little more seriousness, because it is a bracha on a daraisa level. Rav Yaakov Emden writes in his Hagos to Sidur Sharei Shemayim that his father, the Chacham Tzvi, when he had a choice for a kosher bracha, would always choose a glass kos, not a kos of silver or gold. Even though he was wealthy, he had plenty of other kosos, he would always choose glass. And the reason, he said, was because the alter yayin ki is adam ki itin b'kos eino, that a person is supposed to look at the kos and see the adam mumis of the wine. And our sugya says that one of the things that it says about a kosher bracha is no sin bo is enough. That you're supposed to look at the kosher bracha. It's much easier to look at the contents of the kosher bracha if you have a glass kos rather than if you have a silver kos. As far as the kosos of the Lel Seder, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Simon Tafayin Beis that you should have kelim na'im, and in Sefer Nazir Shimshon he says that clay zuchuchis are better than clay zahav, based on the medrash that highlights the value of clay zechuchis. Now, the fact that Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that his father, the Chacham Tzvi, used the clay zechuchis, dafka used a glass kos, to fulfill the inyan of being nosin enu b'kos, assumes that nosin enu b'kos means the contents of the kos, that you should look at the contents of the kos. That's actually a machlokas. The Rama writes in some Kuf Pei Gimel Sif Dalid that they used to have certain koses that were very narrow at the top. They were wider at the bottom, very narrow at the top, and the Rama says don't use those because it's hard to be nosin enu bo, because it's a very narrow opening, so you can't really see what's inside of it. So both the Taz and the Magen Avraham disagree. They say that's not what the Gemara means. Nosin enu b'kos, it doesn't mean the contents of the kos, it's the kos itself. So obviously the Chacham Tzvi was assuming, like the Rama, and those who do use a silver kos rather than a glass kos, like pretty much all of us, like our Kiddush cups are usually silver, even though we have plenty of glass available, we have wine glasses available, is because kol shel bracha, we assume it's to greater kavod to use a more expensive thing, and you are looking at the kos, you're looking at the kol shel bracha. There's also a discussion whether a person of Yaakov Emden writes, maybe dafka by kol shel bracha, when a person is benching, a person should not close his eyes during benching. He says, even though by tefillah it's considered a good thing that you'll remove distraction by not by closing your eyes, but maybe by benching dafka, one is supposed to be nosin enav b'koshal bracha, that it's better that a person not close his eyes. Again, assuming that he's benching using a koshal bracha, which is a whole another sugya, whether why it is that so many people nowadays, all the achronim write about this, why are we not so makvid to use a koshal bracha? L'chaora, simple halacha should be that we should use a koshal bracha. So I have a piece about this in my second sefer also. Bottom line is, of the Achronim say we don't do it, so the minig is what the minig is, but some people are makvid dafka the mezumen, some people are makvid dafka with the minyan, some people say it's your right to do it with less than the mezumen. Okay, a lot to say about that. Now the idea of one more idea over here before we move on to the next Mishnah is, we said that a woman is only misbarich through the man. So there's a fascinating tshuva in Rav Shlomo Kluger's Ha'elef L'cha Shlomo in Simon Kuf Chaf in Or HaChaim, where he was asked about the nusach of the tefillos of the Misha Berach that we say for people who are ill. And we say, even when talking about a woman, we say, l'ramach evareha ushasa gideha, for 248 limbs. Now, anatomically, a woman is different than a man. And the Gemara Mesachas Becharos tells us that a woman has more than ramach evarim. The Rambam also says a woman has more than ramach evarim. The Rambam says a woman has 251 evarim. So how could it be that we say that Rosh Shlomo Kluger was asked in the Tefillah, Ramach Evareha. So first Rosh Shlomo Kluger says, I can't give you explanations for things that don't have any makar in the Gemara. It doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara that you're supposed to say that in Mishaberach. So people started saying, I can't really give such an explanation. But I can't leave you without an answer, so I'm going to give you an answer. So he says, the answer is that if our Gemara says, well, he says like this. We say in the Mishaberach that Mishaberach Sav Seinu Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. So we mention Zuchos Avos. And even though when we're being Mevarich, a female woman who's ill, we say the names of the Imos as well. But the Yikar is really the names of the Avos. And our Gemara says Ein Privitna Shalisha Mizbarich Al Privitna Shal Ish, that all bracha that comes is Chal on the Ish, and through that the woman is Mizbarich, just like creation. She was created through the creation of man, so therefore, when you're davening for a refuah, the refuah has to come through the bracha that a man can have. So you'll say Ramach Evarim, because the man only has Ramach Evarim, and therefore it works through that way. So that's how Rav Shlomo Kluger suggests, based on our Gemara. Okay, says the Mishnah now, new parak. El Dvarim Shemim B'Sham Be'Silel B'Su'uda. There are eight different machloks between B'Sham and B'Silel when it comes to Su'uda. Number one, B'Sham Yom Varech Al Yom V'Achar Kach Mvarech Al Yayin. You say the bracha of Kiddush before the bracha of Bar is what we do. The bracha of Bar Priyagafen first, and then the bracha of Kiddush. Right, our first paragraph of Kiddush on Friday night is really just psukim that are cheerful and nice words about Shabbos. It's not a bracha, and if someone talks at that point, it doesn't ruin anything, but from Bar Priyagafen and on is the real Kiddush. That's why the minig is that people stand for that first part, because even though Kiddush, you need Kiddush Makom Suda, and really you're supposed to be kovei yourself for Kiddush, so it's better to sit for Kiddush, but standing for the first part is Pesukim of Shevach of Shabbos. You're going out to greet the Shabbos Malchusa, so that's why we stand for the first part of Kiddush, and many of the minig that they sit from the Bar Priyagafen and on, because that's the actual Kiddush. So anyway, that's Machlokes Beisham Beisil. Beisham Yom Notun Yadayim V'Achar Kach Mosgen Es HaKos. Beisham says you should wash your hands first and then pour the kos. Beisil Yom Mosgen Es HaKos V'Achar Kach Notun Yadayim. That you do the opposite. Beisham Yom Mekaneach Yodav B'Mapa U'Manich Al HaShulchan. That you clean your hands off with a towel and then you can put that towel on the table. Beisil Yom Ral HaKesas. No, you put it on a cushion, on the seat, on the side, not on the table. It's disgusting to put it on the table. Number four. Beisham Yom Mechabdin Es HaBayis V'Achar Kach Notun Yadayim. They sweep out the house and then you wash. The reverse: first you do Netilas Yadayim and then you sweep out the house. Number five: that the order should be ner, mazon, besamim, and then havdala. Ner ubesamim mazon v'havdala. That's the order. Meaning, of a person, this time, a person only has one kos on Motzai Shabbos, so he has to bench. So you leave it till after you eat. And that this is the Seder of Brachos that you use for the combination of Havdalah and Birchas HaMazon. Beishami Omrim, the sixth Machlokes, Shabara Ma'or Ha'esh, Ubeisil Omrim, Borei Ma'orei Ha'esh, that the proper text is Ma'orei Ha'esh. Ein Mavarch Lola Ner V'lo B'Sam Shal Akum. A person should not say a bracha on a Ner or B'Samim of the Kuchav, meaning that was used for Avodah Zarah. You can't have from the base Avodah Zarah, you can't say a bracha on such a ner, v'lal b'sam shal mesim, nor the ones that were used for mesim. And Rashi says, "Dukul mefarish b'gemara." We'll explain all of this. V'lal and ner v'lal b'sam shal avodah zarah, and nor of avodah zarah. So not an ovdei kuchavim, not mesim, nor avodah zarah. Vein v'barkan on ner, ashiya usla aron. Also, person is not supposed to make a bracha on ner until he gets hana'a from the ner. So that's why our minig is that we hold our fingers to it to see the difference between our fingernails and our fingertips, so that we're getting hana'a from the ar, and that's how we're able to say the bracha. Mishachal the shachach v'lo birech, machlokas number seven. Someone who ate and he forgot and he didn't bench. Beisham yom yachzal the makom of yivarech. You got to go back to where you ate so that you can bench. Ubeisolam yivarech makom shniskar. No, you don't have to go back. Just bench wherever you are. V'ad masay mevarech. How long do you have that you could still bench? Ad kedeshi yisakal mazal shemayav. Till you get to the point where you've digested all of the food. And the eighth and final machlokas, balem yayin achar hamazon in ein sham ela oso kos. If wine comes after you've already benched and you only have that goes, Veishami Yom Varech Al Yayin Vacharkach Mvarech Al Mazon. Veishami says you make a bracha on the Yayin and then you make a bracha on the Mazon. And Rashi again says, the Gemara Mvarech Pultai, we're going to have to explain what exactly this case is, what bracha we're talking about. Uvesilah Mvarech Al Mazon Vacharkach Mvarech Al Yayin. That first you Mvarech on the Mazon and then Al Yayin. Veonin Amein Achar Yisrael HaMvarech. And the last halacha that is not subject to Machlokes Veisham Beisilel, that's just a statement of halacha, you answer Amein after Yisrael makes a bracha, ve'enon amein achar kuti hamevarich, and one does not answer amein after a kuti makes a bracha ad sheyishma kol bracha kula, unless a person hears the entire bracha from the kuti, only then does he answer amein after a kuti is mevarich. As Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Gemara. Sure.